Well, again, happy Father's Day, or at least I hope it's a happy Father's Day for each of you. In case you forgot that it's Father's Day, it seems our gospel reading also forgot. Seems to bypass the holiday entirely. This passage from Mark does not depict a sweet scene of Jesus and Joseph building a bedside table in the garage. Joseph the carpenter teaching his son how to square a corner. Jesus likely came from generations of tradesmen. He was likely handy with a hacksaw. But there's no mention of woodworking this morning. He's talking about the kingdom of God and is convinced that the best way to understand the kingdom of God is not through explanation, but illustration. Our reading says he only spoke in parables. He told parables about travelers, shepherds, vineyard owners, widows, bakers, merchants, but not carpenters. He could have compared the kingdom of God to properly installing windows and doors, or how to construct a flooring system. But he breaks from the lingo of the family business. Time and again, Jesus' preferred analogy is agricultural. Fig trees, weeds, sowers, and seeds. Why? Well, for Jesus, the kingdom of God is not something that is built, but grown. He's fascinated by farming. He says the kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and then would sleep and rise night and day, just go about his life. And the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself. The Greek word of itself, meaning automatically, without any human effort. You can't say the same about bricks. You know, you put a brick in the ground, it will neither grow nor multiply. It will just be a brick. Apart from human effort, construction is static. Your house is not going to maintain itself. Now, I don't mean to stress you out, but your kitchen will not clean itself either. Whereas buildings and structures require constant upkeep, a seed sown has a life of its own. There's an organic power to it. Now, you could say that Jesus is romanticizing farm life. Just like any millennial, he understands farming on Instagram. He doesn't really understand how much effort is required to tend a single raised bed. The weeding, the watering, keeping pests and invasive species away. But even still, there's something innately different between constructing and cultivating. There's a power at work that is beyond human effort. This kingdom is not like other kingdoms as we know them. We know that kingdoms operate by force. Kingdoms rise and kingdoms fall based on strength and dominance. Throughout human history, from Alexander the Great to the Qing Dynasty, kingdoms are never surrendered. They're conquered. It's nothing personal. It's just natural selection. And what about the kingdom you are building or defending in your own life? It requires constant maintenance, deadlines to be met, laundry to be done. There are grand campaigns, goals to achieve, careers to develop, books to write. Meanwhile, threats are coming from every direction, arguments to win, people to win over, or avoid, or punish. And all the while, there are inward uprisings that need to be suppressed, mostly in the form of anxiety, guilt, and addiction. Where are you currently under siege? How heavy is your crown? Well, the kingdom that Jesus is describing is a seed the size of a grain of sand. The mustard seed is not a symbol of power or dominance. It is no sports team mascot. But Jesus won't stop talking about it. In Matthew's gospel, he says, listen, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. That's a ludicrous thing to say. It's so absurd that we assume he's speaking metaphorically. We think, oh, he must be quoting the philosopher Confucius, who said, the man who moves a mountain begins by carrying away small stones. In other words, if you just do the work and you chip away little by little, we can be the change we want to see in the world. But according to Jesus, his kingdom does not work that way. His kingdom doesn't need us to build or defend it. Twice in this gospel, he says that the kingdom of God is at hand. It's already here. We're not architects or project managers, but fertile soil that receives the smallest little seed, which then grows on its own. The power of God is not something that you make happen. It's something that happens to you. Abraham Lincoln, he once described the passive approach to harvesting a fruit tree. He said, a man watches his pear tree day after day, impatient for the ripening of the fruit. Let him attempt to force the process, and he may spoil both fruit and tree. But let him wait patiently, and the ripe pear at length falls into his lap. What's the secret to success in God's kingdom? Do nothing. If anything, just get out of the way. Pray and watch and wait. As your own kingdom is beset by the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, Jesus invites you to raise the white flag, to melt your sword into a plowshare, your spear into a pruning hook. What does the mustard seed's power look like in real life? What does this mean for you right now? Well, I'll tell you by way of telling you what it means to Paul Cowley, who's an Anglican minister. He grew up in Manchester, England. Paul's father was a mean man, an alcoholic, both verbally and physically abusive. And Paul ran away because of that at the age of 15, and he got into trouble, spent some time in prison. But somehow he makes it out okay. And he's running a health club in London when, after being an atheist for almost 40 years, Paul becomes a Christian. And shortly after, something makes him want to be in a relationship with his dad again. After years of not speaking, he tracks his father down. And Paul is hoping that his dad has changed in some way, like he had. But he found that his dad was even grumpier and more vulgar and crude than ever before. Even still, he invites his dad, on occasion, to his family's home in London. Each time he picks him up at the train station, each time his father arrives drunk and complaining, mostly about money. But after one of these visits, something strange happens. Paul takes his father to the station, he puts him on the train, and right in the middle of the carriage, he has this overwhelming feeling of love for his dad. It was really weird, he says. I almost started to cry. I looked at him and felt really sad for him, that we never had a relationship. And in my mind came this idea to upgrade his ticket to first class. And so he buys his dad a very expensive ticket, walks him to his seat, kisses him on the forehead, And standing back on the platform, Paul's wife says to him, "What on earth did you just do?" Paul says, "I have no idea. I just really wanted to see my dad happy." And as Paul looks at his father through the window, he sees his dad take his hat off, recline in his nice leather chair, snap his fingers for a cup of tea, and start to read his newspaper. And as he turns to look at his son through the window, he has the biggest smile on his face. Paul says it was like every Christmas and birthday rolled into one. That was the last time Paul ever saw his father, who 3 weeks later died of a massive heart attack. He says, "I always think, was that me just making up an idea that I thought I might buy him a ticket? Or was that God guiding me? I have a real peace with my father after all those years of arguments and fighting and drinking and womanizing. The only image I have of my father is that picture of his face looking through the window of that railway carriage as it rolled off." This is not the story about building a kingdom. This is the story of a tiny seed that was buried and over time would germinate and sprout and grow. He did not know how. You see, God was at work in that man's heart. God's abundant love for him grew into an unconditional and undeserved love for his father, who was by all accounts a wretched man. But God's kingdom, you see, is not built on human strength or reason, but on the power of God. Hours before his death, Jesus tells Pontius Pilate that his kingdom is not of this world. He rules not with force and might, but with love and grace. He willingly surrenders his power by laying down his life. And the only woodworking mentioned are the nails being driven into his hands and feet on the hard wood of the cross. Jesus' main purpose, you see, was not as a carpenter, but as a seed that would be buried in the ground. As the great hymn proclaims, "Laid in the earth like grain that sleeps unseen, love is come again like wheat that springeth green." Amen.